Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I'm not going to name names, Pastor Russ, but good morning. We're so glad that you're here today. If you're visiting with us, we are so excited to meet you and get to spend time with you this morning, and we hope we get more information from you to get in contact with you. I hope it's been an awesome weekend. As you can see, the beautiful array of sea of green down here. We are just finishing up today our Unite weekend, so we have been hard at it in dancing and music and worship and Bible study and breakout sessions at Pleasant City Church and at our host homes, the Piercy's and the Hicks. So we thank you to everyone involved. It was awesome. Who knew that you could dance with headphones for, you know, like 2 hours with combination of 600 students and have the best time of your life. So, yes, that was a great weekend. We had awesome messages about just everything relating to them. The students, it was great. They got to be with over 500 students from this county and other counties, and they got to break up into school groups, and they got to break up and do so many awesome things to see how they can share the gospel at school, how they can take Christ into their everyday life. Thank y'all for your prayers and support for that. So announcements today. There's a couple, and I'm not giving them, so I'll let Madeline come up.
Go, Madeline.
I've dealt with enough of you this weekend.
Okay, I'm just making a quick announcement about the senior adult banquet. So if you are 55 years or older, then you are invited to come this Saturday, March 15th, at 5:30. We will be in the Hope Center, and this year's theme is Around the World. So you are happy if you have an outfit that you would like to wear that represents a different country that you find interesting or fun, or you can just dress in something comfortable. But please RSVP, tell Miss Susan or myself, one of the act teens, so that we know you're coming so we can get a count of how much food we need. And that is everything, I believe, for me. Still eat if you don't RSVP. Russ just wants more food.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I know it's been a long few months on the directory. We are in the final stages of wrapping it up. We do appreciate your patience with it. But if you are currently serving as a deacon, if you are a deacon right now, if you will meet us at the steps at the front of the church for a quick photo so we can get it added in the directory after service. Thanks.
All right. I was just told, so act teens, make sure you don't leave right after church, right? Okay, stay after. Okay. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful to be here with this group of family, these people that are our brothers and sisters because of you, Lord. I thank you for every age, every person, everyone, whether they're first time here or they've been here their whole lives. We just thank you that you have brought us together in your name. So we pray that we take that seriously today, that we understand Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Christ is eternal life through Jesus, our Lord. So I pray that we let that sink in today, Lord, that we don't deserve our eternal life with you, but you give it through Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for that. And help us as we listen to your word and sing praises to your name and help it bring you joy and be honorable and let it be true from our mouths or close our mouths, Lord. We don't want to do anything that is against you and anything that misses the mark of what you set for us. So please help us to be aware of that and to live accordingly. Convict us or change us or mold us or bring us to our knees to worship you, Lord, whatever it is, Lord. Let us do it here in this building, in this house where we have set apart to worship you. And we just love you so much. I pray over Russ and Melody as they lead us in song and teaching that you would protect them and guide them and bless them through their words and their songs, and let your Holy Spirit pour upon them, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
worship the God who was.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds a victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. Cause He hung up on that cross and He rose up from that grave. My God still rolls on the way.
Give Him praise this morning.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
So we were the beggars.
We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. At the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. At the house of the Lord sing praise.
There's joy in the house.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Amen. Have you been blessed this morning? Amen. I have, indeed. I was looking at the youth's t-shirts from this weekend, and I told somebody this morning, I said, I hope y'all sure got a good deal on those t-shirts. They said, we got them for free. I said, that's even better, because they printed them upside down. But it's not upside down to you, is it? If you're reading it, so that's good. They did have a lovely weekend, a great weekend, and anytime they go away and have focused time together, away from the world and the worldly things, God has an amazing way to show up and move in the hearts and lives of our youth. Thank you for supporting them. Thank you for loving on them and making this possible for Devin and Dawn, for the girls and the boys, chaperones this weekend at their homes, keeping them there. We pray, glad y'all made it and are here this weekend too. But it was a good weekend. It was a good weekend for me too, because I got a new grandbaby. And everybody's doing good. Caroline and Maris are doing well. And so praise God for that. Thank you for your prayers through the weekend. And even though all the good things happen, today is the day that the Lord has made, right? And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. We were in our Bible study last week, and Joe Hobson, in his prayer, he said, I don't remember exactly what it was, but every day is a good day because God made it. We may not be experiencing the best of days, but still it is a good day because God created it. Therefore, we should and will rejoice in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. This story I'm going to open up with, this guy probably wasn't having the best of the days for him. He had gone to a coffee shop and ordered his normal cup of coffee, and the barista handed him the cup, and he was walking back to his table, and somebody accidentally bumped into him, and coffee spilled everywhere. Of course, that didn't make for a good day, especially it was probably early in the morning. But he got his napkins and got on the floor and cleaned it up, cleaned the mess up, tried to clean his clothes off. He said as he was on the floor thinking and cleaning up the mess in the floor, he said, if my cup had been filled with water, I would have spilled water. He said, if I had been tea, I would have spilled tea. But because it was filled with coffee is what spilled out. He said, you know, life works the same way. Whatever fills us spills out when we're bumped or challenged or irritated or inconvenienced. And how true that is. If we're filled with joy and love, that's what overflows when we begin to serve other people. When we try to minister to people, that's what overflows and flows out of us. But if we're filled with resentment and a duty-bound obligation when we're serving others, that's what flows from us. And our service feels like a burden instead of a blessing, not only to that person, but to us as well. If you will, turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, and we're going to rest on that one passage this morning and look at it this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 reminds us that our freedom in Christ is an opportunity to serve one another, to serve each other humbly, to serve each other joyfully, to serve each other with love. And it comes from a heart filled. You know, serving people, serving others joyfully comes with a heart filled with God's love, ready to pour that over into people's hearts and lives. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. You were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your flesh or to indulge yourself. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Because true joy in serving doesn't come from recognition. It doesn't come from being recognized for what we've done, for getting accolades, for doing something. It comes from the love of God. Paul begins this passage in Galatians by reminding us, he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. You were called to be free. In Christ, we've been set free. We've been set free from the sin, from the legalism, from the burden of self-righteousness. But this freedom doesn't give us the right or the privilege, and it's not meant for us to use it for self-indulgence, to making ourselves look better and feel better. It's about serving others for the glorification of God. He continues in this verse. He says, but don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. In essence, the freedom that we have in Christ doesn't mean that we can go out and do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. It doesn't say we can go out and sin because we're going to be forgiven again. We're called to repentance every day, to evaluate our heart, to evaluate our life and our actions and reactions every day and go to the Lord and seek repentance and forgiveness. Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. It means to willingly submit ourselves to God's purpose. Willingly submitting ourselves to God's purpose. And think about that. Paul continues, and he commands us in the next sentence. He says, rather serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love. And here it shifts from thinking about self to thinking about the community and a communal responsibility. Not just thinking about my needs and my desires, but thinking about the body of believers. Thinking about the people beyond the body of believers. He's going to make a special note to look after the body of believers specifically. But in whatever we're doing, it says to serve with love. Covenant living means using our freedoms to serve one another, not just ourselves. When we think about the word serve, what comes to mind? Maybe a waiter or a waitress or... But the word serve, it's a Greek word. The Greek word meaning for that is to become a servant. And that takes it a step further than just being a waiter or a waitress, doesn't it? To be a servant. How are we serving each other? How are we serving the Lord? Rather be a servant and humbly serve each other with love. You ever catch yourself doing something and serving someone in some way simply because you felt compelled to do it? Because the pastor asked you to do it? Or your friend asked you to do it? And you think, all right, I'll get it done one way or the other. I'll work it out. Is that the attitude of love? Is that the attitude that God wants us to have when we're serving other people, when we're serving Him in His kingdom, in His church? I know I've got to do this, but doggone it, I don't like doing that, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm going to venture to say that we've all probably been there before, haven't we? What is our heart? What is the motivation of our heart? Is it for the love of the Lord, or simply to check something off, to get something done because somebody asked you? You see, in God's kingdom, greatness isn't measured by the power of our status or what we recognize or how we're recognized in the world, but our willingness to serve and to serve the kingdom of God. Be reminded that the world looks at the things of our life. The world looks at the status that we've achieved. The world looks at the toys that we've accumulated, the size of our bank account, the size of our home, the kind of car we drive. But God looks at the status of our heart. And while we're doing the things we're doing, and while we're living the way we're living, and acting and reacting the way we are. Do we have a servant's heart or a lifestyle of service to other people? Are we serving out of love or out of compulsion? And I guess it begins with the fact that joyful service begins with recognizing that our freedom in Christ is a gift. It's a gift of God. He is the one who died on the cross and was raised to life to prove that He was God's Son so that we could have everlasting life, so that we could have our sins forgiven, so that we could in turn, because He loved us so much, because He served us, we can then love Him and serve Him. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. And so it begins by recognizing that freedom is a gift, not a license to selfishness. We're called to serve because Christ served us. Think about His ministry and His time here on earth. He was serving us. He was serving humanity. He was serving mankind. And so think about this. Have you ever thought about serving others strengthens our faith? How serving others might strengthen our faith? That joyful service is a spiritual discipline that deepens our faith. And when we step out of our comfort zone, you know that time when the pastor does ask you to do something and you're like, I've never done that before. I don't know about that. But you step out of your comfort zone and you do it anyway. What are you doing? You're trusting God, aren't you? You're taking that step of faith. You're doing something you're not sure about. And so in doing so, we're relying on God's strength and guidance rather than our own ability for the situation. We see Jesus modeled this servitude in John chapter 13, verse 12 through 15, when he washed his disciples' feet. It says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. He says, do you understand what I've done for you? He asked him. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. And then he goes on in verse 15, he goes on and tells them, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. He was serving his people. He was serving his disciples. And he's telling us today, we are to serve each other. We are to serve each other as Christ served us. Because true joy and true joyful servitude is found in following Christ's example. And he became as humble as anybody can. Think of that. The king of, you know, we wouldn't expect our kings and rulers to come and wash our feet. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords did. He came and set an example for us to follow. To say that I'm no better in my opportunity to serve. I came to serve you. Now you go and do likewise. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, Paul teaches us. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, with a humble heart, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but to each of you to the interest of others. Put other people first. Look for what they need more than what you want. You see, joyful service is rooted in selflessness, not selfishness. And when we joyfully serve, our attitude and our perspective shifts, and instead of focusing on what we lack and what we don't have, we focus on the needs of others and the fulfillment of God's plan and growing the kingdom of God, and serving each other strengthens our faith by teaching a dependence on God. To knowing that when we step out of that comfort zone, we are indeed trusting in God, and we're cultivating a heart of gratitude for God, and it draws us closer to Him, so that in those people we're serving, we're reflecting the love of God to other people. We look at that as an individual, but think about that corporately. As we serve and joyfully serving each other and loving each other in service, it unites the church. It unites the body of believers. Covenant living isn't about an isolated faith. Nowhere in Scripture can you find the idea that I'm going to go live in the woods by myself because that's the most spiritual thing. We need family. We need the church family. We need to be a part of a body of believers to encourage each other, to help each other, to strengthen each other. It's about a unified body of believers working together for a common goal, for a common purpose. Easter in Earl is coming up pretty soon, next month. And so we ask, how will you be serving in that? How will you be taking part in that? Will it be, okay, Mary called me, I'm going to do this, or the pastor called me, I got to do that? Or have you already called Mary, and I haven't checked my phone, you might have sent me a text already this morning to say, yes, what do you want me to do? Or I want to do this, or I want to do that. Are we joyfully looking for opportunity to serve? As I said, we've got the Easter in Earl coming up. We got the Christmas in Earl in December, the Angel Tree, the Back to School Bash, the Vacation Bible School, all of these different, and others, these different corporate gatherings and corporate ministries and corporate missions that we come together unified to further the kingdom of God. And so that joyful service unifies the church. It unifies the body. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, encourages us. It says, let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. If we don't fall away. If we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, everybody that we can, help as many as we can, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Especially to those who belong. Look at the person sitting beside you. Especially to those who belong to the family of God, to the family of believers. Think about this. Our entire life is an opportunity to serve. Every day there's special work for us to do. The opportunities are everywhere. They're right in front of us, but I think we oftentimes miss the opportunities that are right in front of us because oftentimes we're looking for something easier or more convenient than what the Lord wants us to do. And as a result, we miss the opportunity that God has brought before us. When we look at the early church, when we look at Acts chapter 2, they served each other gladly, and as a result, they had love and joy in their heart for each other. They were working together, and the church grew and strengthened. It was a blessing from God. Joyful service is our testimony to how Christ is working in and through us. It's about drawing people to the kingdom of God. You see, a church unified and a church that's serving willfully and joyfully and lovingly together, it's a powerful witness to the world. It's a powerful witness for the world to look and see, oh, look at what God is doing there. Look at that phenomenal ministry that they have. Look at how they're reaching people. Yes, we reflect God's covenant love best when we're working together. And love is the key to that. Love is a key to working together and serving together and serving with joy. And Paul ties this joyful service directly to love and at the end of this one verse right here. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, at the end of that verse, it says, serve one another humbly in what? In love. Serve one another humbly in love. You see, love is the foundation of all service, of all the joyful service. In fact, love is at the core of our belief. Love is at the core of who we believe. Love is the core of every aspect of Christianity. For without love, we have nothing. And our actions and our service becomes a burden instead of a blessing to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Verse 3, it says, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I've gained nothing. And so if what we're doing is done without love, it's of no eternal benefit at all. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You see, it's that love that moves us beyond the burdensome duty and makes service a delightful action. It becomes easier instead of more a bigger burden. Folks, Jesus served because he loved. And we're called to do the same. You know, when we struggle to serve with joy, we might ought to ask the question, am I serving out of obligation, out of duty, out of a burden, or out of the love of God? Am I serving out of a love for God and a love for others, or out of compulsion? The greatest commandment is to love God and love our neighbor. You see, it's because of that love that we serve other people in the name of Jesus. It's our love for God that is expressed through our service, and our love moves our hearts from what I have to do to how can I bless somebody else. How do we serve with joy? Pray for a servant's heart. Pray that God will give you that servant's heart and ask God to align your heart with His purposes for serving other people. And recognize that our service is an opportunity from the Lord, not a burden on ourselves. And folks, a joyful heart is contagious for sure. And when we serve with joy, it lifts the spirits of those around us. We encourage those around us. And all the while we're serving, God calls us to stay focused on Christ. Because we don't serve for recognition, but for God's glory. We don't serve for the attaboys in this world, but for the rewards in heaven. And so look beyond the task that's before you and look to the lives that are being transformed and changed through serving them and serving other people. You see, that serving with joy is a true mark of covenant living. And remember, whatever you're filled with, whatever fills us will spill over and will spill out in the lives of other people. What are we filling our minds and our souls and our bodies with? If we're filled with frustration and duty and self-interest, that's what will come out. People will see that. People will know that. But if we're filled with the love of Christ, our service will overflow with joy and humility. And Paul reminds us in Galatians that our freedom in Christ isn't for selfish gain, but for serving one another in love. So when we embrace the joyful service, we reflect Christ and we strengthen our church, we live out our faith, we strengthen our faith, and we're living out that covenant promise with God. So let me ask you in closing this morning, what is spilling out of your life? Is it joy-filled service? Or is it something else? This morning, let's ask God for the eyes to see the opportunities that He's put right there in front of us. Because He's put them right there a reason. Not so that we can look for something easier or something more convenient, but for what He wants to teach us through that opportunity right before us right now. And to pray that He would fill us with a love so that it's that love that overflows from us when we serve other people. I ask you again, what's spilling out of you in your service? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, God, we thank you for the example of Jesus in the way that He served humanity, in the way that He served other people, how He set that example for us to follow. And to know that He carried out that service because He loves us. God, may we be filled with that same love so that our service is joyful and not a burden. So that we can serve You, God, and further Your kingdom. So that we can serve You, God, and grow closer to You. So that we can serve You, God, and strengthen our faith. So that we can serve You, God, and be united as a body of believers. And so that other people will see You in us, that their lives might be changed. Father, we pray this morning to change our hearts in order that we might become more like You. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As we stand together and sing, "Use Me," you might stand, you might sing, you might pray, you might come to the altar. Whatever it is that you need to do to honor what the Lord wants to do in your life this morning.
Jesus, keep me by Your side.